the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Attaboy. But, you know, what was that, $1.2839?
In NFL football, you could come on the field with a foreign object or an international object, I think that's a better way to say it, and you could actually crush somebody and just put them into the hospital, and that may net you a suspension in the game, but in terms of what's going to be the yardage is a 15-yard penalty. So that's a 15-yard, and you could just absolutely kill somebody with an international object on the field. If you dance, if you do the icky shuffle after scoring a touchdown, it's a 15-yard penalty. So just by doing dancing or by crushing somebody with bringing something on the field, it's the same fucking result. Like, come on, man. This is not
you want to see the yardage inflated? Is that what you're asking for?
I want to see people having fun. I want to see stuff like that. I want to see the electric slide come back when somebody scores a touchdown. I want to see shit like that. I don't want to. And if somebody doesn't want to do it like Barry Sanders, fine, because he's been there before and he wants to show that he knows what to do. But if somebody wants to have some fun doing it, by all means, fucking do it, man. Like,
the game has gotten erected that Sanders statue over the weekend.
What happened?
They put up a statue of Sanders over the weekend. It's awesome. Awesome statue.
Yeah, I didn't know that. You know what? He deserved it. The guy is a great player and a class act. Yep. I remember after he retired, he came on I forget who it was, maybe a Monday night. So he could have been on there with Al and Al Michaels and John Madden as well. And man, the fucking respect he had for the announcers, and they were equally as respectful to him. Like, the guy is a total class act, man. Such a great player, and it was just too bad he was a straddle with such a shitty team. Once did they have a really good record. I think that was in 91. I think they were like 12-4 or something. Other than that, they were just a fucking shitty team, and he was straddled with absolute trash. Great fucking running back. On turf, hard to beat him, man.
Untouchable. Yeah, untouchable.
Completely. Yeah, on grass, like especially mucky grass, not to say he was terrible. I mean, he was lesser. Like, he was fucking godlike on turf, but like, I guess he was more human on like mucky grass.
The weekend was not kind to my fantasy team. Not that anyone cares about that, but tons of injuries, including Saquon Barkley yesterday. Not on my CDP team, but on another fantasy team that I'm in. Actually, it's funny. I'm going to Washington for a game in October, and I was saying to my wife,
much maligned,
the Redskin Commanders or whatever they are, the football team, Redskins Commanders. No, it's FedEx. Yeah, FedEx. Yeah.
They should resurrect RFK Stadium. It's still there.
Every Redskins fan thinks that. Every Commanders fan, I should say, thinks that.
Are you kidding me? They're actually talking about bringing back RFK.
They want to move back to that site. It's a better site. I've never been to this stadium.
Not the actual stadium, the first time.
I mean, they might. I don't know. They can't. What are they going to do? Refurbish RFK? Is it even still standing?
I thought it was still standing. I don't know.
I don't know if it is or not. It might be, actually, because I did Google Map it the other day by mistake, and it gave me some result. I didn't look at the result, though. But I'm going to a game, and I said to my wife, I'm like, if you thought the Lions game in Detroit was nuts, wait till you see what these people are like on a Thursday night game in Washington. It's going to be absolutely batshit. And I still think, I don't know if it's going to be more insane. Like, last year, I think I told you guys that I went to see the Bills against Miami, the snow game. On a Saturday night, that was probably the most insane, second most insane pro sports experience I've ever had. The most insane was watching a Raptors playoff game against Philadelphia during the Kawhi year. That was crazy. But football fans in night games do not mix. And I honestly think it's like an experience you have to go through at least once. Have you been to a Bills game at night before?
I've been to a Bills game in the day.
In the winter.
It was cold. It must have been like October, November.
Yeah.
And I've also watched preseason Bills in Toronto.
Ugh.
So I watched it both at the Rich Stadium, whatever it's called now, and also at the SkyDome/Rogers Center.
Yeah. The Highmark in Buffalo is an awesome place to watch a game.
Is that the Rich Stadium? Is that the same place, or is that?
It was called Ralph Wilson Stadium, and now he passed away. They sold the team.
Before that was Rich Stadium.
Was it? I don't even know. Ralph Wilson was the only name I know.
Yeah, that was when it was four straight Super Bowls. It was known as Rich Stadium.
Boy, I love losing Super Bowls. That's what Bills stands for, right?
That's pretty good. Boomer's saying Lawrence Taylor is the only other player that he's watched was better than Barry Sanders.
Beast.
Yeah, fucking
beast.
Yeah, if you hear how Bill Belichick...
LT played his whole career drunk and on coke and was still a Hall of Fame linebacker. Are you kidding me? That's incredible.
You just watched one called The Pain Game where he had a fucked up shoulder and he came in and every tackle he made, he was wincing in pain on the floor. But he still fucking dominated that game with one shoulder, and every time he made a move, he was on the floor just.
Yeah, because he was on the nose beers, buddy. Like that was probably.
He had such acceleration, like speed and power that he redefined fucking offensive. Yeah. Where they had to shift over somebody to protect the backside.
He's a beast.
Or else you get another. Yeah, or else you get another fucking. Joe Theismann.
Oh, get the busted leg there. Yeah.
Yeah, because that was a blind side. Quarterback. You couldn't one-on-one him. You couldn't put a man on with – especially fuck that. You needed help.
There's a comment in the chat that I missed during the show from Julian, Kinetic Finance. Apparently, Dollaramas are banned from selling bread if they're next to Sobeys because Sobeys owns the land that Dollaramas are on and are leasing it to them. Did you know that?
No.
That's why. No. I wouldn't be surprised by that, honestly. But that's an interesting thing to consider. Yeah, I don't know if that's true. Nothing would surprise me at this point.
They're able to sell it for cheaper because they don't have the same type of issues that
there's no overhead, right? It costs like $500 a day to run the store. There's no fridges. There's one guy on staff. He's making minimum wage. Like the Dollarama staff, the place where I used to live, I used to go in there once in a while and buy if I'm being honest, I got a bit of a sweet tooth, actually a lot of a sweet tooth. And I used to go in there and buy dumb stuff like Airheads or whatever. And the staff in there is super nice, but not very bright, and so they're kind of taking advantage of low wage work, right? It's true. And
there's a job, man. It's an entry level job.
I know, but I'm saying at Sobeys, it's hard to find. Like, you need to be a little sharper to work at a full service, full shelf grocery store, because there's a lot of people there who will demand more of you coming in to buy stuff. That's really the difference between Dollarama and Sobeys when it comes to the kind of people you can hire. And so you get kind of more well-to-do high school kids who can have a conversation with someone at the checkout, blah, blah, blah. You know the drill. And that's why the Dollarama overhead is so low.
I haven't been in a Dollarama in a long time.
Really?
It's been a long fucking time.
You know what I ordered last week, by the way? Talking about fiat maximalism, a new iPhone. And I traded my old iPhone back to Apple. 2 years is the right time to do this. I will go to my fucking grave arguing this. Two years, you get a phone with a brand new battery. With all the improved tech, I'm going for a smaller screen because this one's too big. It makes my thumbs hurt sometimes. Uh-huh. And it only costs about $700.
Oh, not bad.
Not bad. It's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Okay, whatever, idiot.
What else am I going to do? We talk so much shit about fucking Apple. And you're like, take my fucking money, man. Take my privacy with the same time.
I'm an iPhone Maxi. As soon as I get it, I'm going to let it scan my face and off we go. I'll be rolling after that.
You know, that's those are the people that are working at Dollarama. You know, that's
they probably got iPhones too. Yeah,
for sure. And also working at the Toronto Star, which happened. I'm not sure if you saw that.
Of course I saw it. I went to Bruce Arthur's Twitter feed right away. He's blocking people. Far right people are happy about layoffs. No, Bruce, it's not the far right people. It's people who you've disparaged and discriminated against and insulted over the last, umpteen years of your career. Anyone who is at all to the right of center, and even potentially to the right of you, has been framed as a villain for the last 15 years by you and Torstar. And this is your comeuppance, my friend. Again, the bottom is not in until you're out of a job. And I think that's coming pretty soon.
I wonder how much of an impact Bill C-18 and the reaction by Google and Meta
probably had to do with this.
And if it had
bankruptcy, it's probably in motion for a long time, but maybe right. I don't know. Yeah.
It was like COVID in terms of torpedoing the economy. The economy was going to get there eventually. Just COVID helped make things go quicker. And for sure, the Star was going to go down this path. And maybe C-18 helped push it a little bit faster.
Maybe.
I mean, I'd love to know if that was a measurable impact, but I guess we'll never really get the real information.
I don't know. But like Torstar Media has a number of other outfits as well. I don't think it's just the Toronto Star. I think they're part 70, of the broader.
It's 70 local newspapers.
Yeah. With those ones, I'm kind of sad about because I do think local news is important, but not local news that's like syndicated. You know, as that famous YouTube video, that montage of this is a threat to our democracy, every local media station saying it at the same time on the same day. But local news is important, I think, at some level. That's why as much as I like to kind of rap on CH News and their kind of, you know, quaint morning news show, I do think it's kind of nice to know what's going on in your community. I just don't know what the best way to do it is now. It's not the same as it was 15 years ago, for sure. But I don't think it's Twitter and decentralized reporting. Like in Hamilton, there's a guy who's admittedly to the left of my preferences, but this guy, Joey Coleman, who reports on local events in Hamilton, specifically stuff going on at city council, and I think holds city council to account a lot of the time, you know, tells people when there's not quorum, blah, blah, blah. And I appreciate that kind of thing. And so I want to see more of that and less of the syndicated fake local news that's just owned by Torstar or whoever else. I think it's, you know, again, short term, bit of pain, long term opportunity for gain in quality and content.
Mark Hebscher, that's the guy I like.
I remember Hebscher is the fucking best. I got a Hebscher story. Do you want to hear it?
I want to hear it. I love him on Sportsline with him and Jim Taddy.
Taddy and Hebscher were the best. And yeah.
The Hebscher Awards?
Hebscher had a podcast with Toronto Mike for a long time, Hebsy on Sports. It was every Friday. I used to listen to it all the time, but they stopped it. Mark Hebscher and I sat next to each other at the HBA, Hamilton Basketball Association. It's a house league basketball outfit in Hamilton, coaches meeting. The beginning of the year coaches meeting, and I was there. My wife was there. We were coming from somewhere else or going to dinner after something. I forget. And, next to me at the back of the room, he came in late and sat next to us. And the guy who was running the league at the time was, what's the best way to put this? He was not really socially adept and he was trying to sort of rhyme off what the expectations were for coaches. And they had just embraced this like Steve Nash developmental program where every coach was given this like thick binder of stuff that they're never going to use because you only get the kids for 1 hour of practice every week plus a game. And Hebscher sat down next to me and absolutely filleted the guy who was doing the presentation on behalf of the league, the convener of the league. And then when some other guy decided it was time to pipe up and talk about how he wants to do things the same way during basketball practice that he does at his kids' soccer practice, Hebscher was like, "Hey, buddy, this isn't soccer. You're not going to do things like that. And I'm definitely not going to." Like, he fucking went after the guy in the crowd. And Hebscher was known. He was on CH News at the time. Everyone knew who he was. He looks like he's coming from work. Anyway, so that was a scene. And then we saw him later in the season coaching a team. Hebscher was coaching a team of like 8-year-olds or something, young kids, maybe one of his own. I don't know if he's got kids that age. I know he's got a kid who's, you know, around my age, but maybe there's like a kid that he knew or was in the neighborhood or something. Who knows, right? And he was fucking red in the face, screaming at these kids, trying to get them to do stuff on the court. It was hilarious because you can tell he comes from a good place. Like, he's very passionate and obviously a sports guy.
He was channeling his inner Bobby Knight.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's throwing chairs.
Everything short of throwing the chair, exactly, or choking a guy. And I was laughing. My wife was like, "Oh my god! Like, this is like really the thing on TV is not really an act at all." Eh? I'm like, "I don't think so. Pretty sure this guy only has one speed." And so, yeah, I like Mark a lot. I've only had a couple of interactions with him. I saw him hiking in Dundas one time. He was going for a jog, and I was hiking on a trail up in the near the Dundas Peak there. But anyway. Yeah, funny. I like Mark a lot. I'm surprised. If you had Mark Hebscher on your CBP bingo card, you'd probably take a shot of tequila there because that's going to be the only time you get a reference from Hezzy.
No, it will probably bring him up again. And RFK Stadium is still standing. It's being demolished this year.
Ah, okay.
So it's, yeah, unfortunately.
Just like our chances of the Super Bowl, probably. Yeah. Actually, Commanders are 2-0. We had a good game yesterday. Good comeback against Denver.
If you're 2-0, you have an excellent chance to make the playoffs. If you look at the statistics when you're 2-0, typically I think it's around 75% plus of making the playoffs. So
great.
That's what it was 15 years ago.
Buck that trend. We'll be the ones to do it for sure.
it, Well, there's, you know, there's 25% that doesn't, right? So you got to have both sides of the spectrum.
That's funny.
So,
that's,
you know, funny. Come on, just getting rid of the old name, that's enough for them to not make the playoffs.
I know. I know.
With the history behind it and everything. And
yeah, Kornheiser, the ESPN guy who does all the Washington stuff, he's a, you know, that's really selling him short. He's a famous writer, does PTI as well. Also on that boat that he at least wants to bring the old logo back, if even if the name has to change, which I think I'm also on board with. I don't know what the new name would be, but yeah. Anyway, let's wrap it up because I have
to have a new name. Isn't that like official?
They were a temporary name. Washington football team, and then they became the Commanders.
Yeah.
And now I think they have a new owner, Josh Harris, who also owns the Sixers, I believe, the Philadelphia 76ers.
So it's going to be the 77s?
I think they're going to change the name, honestly, over the next 5 years. I think they'll probably change it again, if I had to guess. Yeah, they need a new stadium. They need a new name. They need a new coach. Those are the things we need. We got a quarterback, I think, maybe. Running back, we could use another one. But anyway.
So get out of that fucking league. It's a disaster.
I'll be watching tonight while I edit this audio. I'll tell you that much.
The ideas that is being perpetuated by that league and what you're trying to push and what you're trying to hide, man, it's a shitty fucking league. And they're out there that just... They're gladiators, right? They're just there to like give them fuck all in terms of money. And if they get cut, you're not going to get paid anymore. There's no guarantee.
TTYL. TTYL.
But it's a horrible setup over there. And then, you know, you get somebody that punches his wife. They try to hide this stuff. Like, come on, man.
There's no video. It never happened, right? That's the...
the fuck?
I know.
Like, how could this be supported by...
100%.
I don't understand. Like,
Let's get out of here before you pop a blood vessel.
I'm good.
Tomorrow,
my BP nothing. Is very low.
Tomorrow, nothing. Burnett Wednesday, Ryan Griggs Thursday. And until then, you animals, take care of yourself.
Yeah, take care, PV, and don't be a cock.
Good work. Way to go.